I let people know when I disagree or when I think something is going on that I don't think is right.
And an email this week by former Ohio Governor John Kasich's political group reminded supporters that many have suggested Governor Kasich should run, and he is keeping all of his options on the table. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Okay, Hunterdon County, let's find out what's going on with your weather today. We've had a beautiful day. Did everybody get to see the sparkles of the sun coming up into the frosty limbs on the trees? It was beautiful. And right now we're at about 43 degrees, and it just feels warmer out. Tonight it's going to be partly cloudy with a low around 29 and a gentle wind. Tomorrow we're going to have mostly sunny again, a high near 43, so just about like today, we're hoping. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low as low as 28 degrees with gentle rains. And I think there's a chance of rain coming on the weekend on Saturday, but we will have some partly sunny skies and temperature again in the mid-40s. So that's what you can predict for this evening. And we're going to now get started with our show.
Promise me that you'll give faith fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
Occasion brought to you every third Thursday from 4 to 5 here at Hunterdon Chamber Radio. This program, Life as a Spiritual Occasion, is an ongoing discussion of the spiritual nature of all life. It sure reflects the life force in us all and awakens that part of us I like to call soul that gives us a nudge to seek greater love and understanding. Today we're going to be talking about karma, understanding karma, in fact, and we have two guests that I'm going to introduce you in a moment, but just to reveal sort of the gist of today's show, life offers us subtle or sometimes not so subtle tests that that exercise our will or our choices on a daily basis, every day, and I'm going to say all day, every moment. And these choices create a balance in our life. And I'm not going to say positive or negative. I'm going to say plus or minus, or I'm going to say noticeable in terms of our flow of life and our balance in our daily living. And if we say that neutral is the sweet spot in terms of karma, hoping that we'll get to learn a little bit more about that from our guests. So not choosing an opinion one way or action in one way or the other really is up to us, and it is our self-responsibility and hoping that we learn by our lessons and that we become more and more aware and more focused. So let me talk to you about our two guests today who have spent much of their lives in spiritual study. With us is Mike Stein, who is a retired broadcast engineer, wow, having worked with the New Jersey Public Broadcasting System and also NBC affiliate in Phoenix, Arizona. He's a volunteer firefighter and president of the Burlington County Firefighters Association. Thanks for coming all this way to be with us today. Mike started his quest of spiritual truth as a teen and has been a follower of a spiritual path of Ekankar for about 40 years. Carol Stein, his wife, also has a lifelong interest in spirituality and is a member of the clergy of Ekankar. She enjoys gardening, taking care of the wild birds and animals that grace their backyard. And Mike and Carol have been married for 44 years. So welcome to Life as a Spiritual Occasion, and we're going to be talking with Mike and Carol about understanding karma. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Suzanne.
It's good to have you. What We might as well start out for our audience here. And what is your understanding or interpretation of karma?
Karma is actually one of the universal laws.
You can get. I'm going to ask you a little closer to the mic.
Karma is actually can be thought of as the law of cause and effect. The Bible says you reap what you sow. And if you incur a debt to someone,
get it close,
it has
Mike.
To be repaid.
Thank you.
And that's basically what karma is. And karma, if you're lucky, you can pay off your debt in this lifetime. But part of the understanding of karma is also the understanding of reincarnation, and karmic debt can go into the next life if you want to pay it in this one.
Wow, that's a lot of information there, and we're gonna dissect that. I am gonna ask you to hold that mic really up close because I'm watching us, and it's not.
Okay,
thank you. So, Carol, do you have an example of that we might examine here?
Sure. One of the most striking examples for me, when we were first married, Mike and I, we had our little disagreements. We are very different people. And we were living in Arizona at the time, and I remember, and I don't even actually remember the incident, but I remember that I got so angry. We were in our kitchen. It was over something like, you know, burning the dinner, some silly thing. But I became very angry, and I knew that I shouldn't be angry, but I couldn't contain this experience. So I stormed out of the back door, and I started digging in the garden because I love gardening, and it's always been a way that I find peace. But I was digging in the garden, and I'm going around in my head about the argument, and I suddenly struck an underground water main or water pipe, those PVC
yes.
pipes. You remember that?
Yeah.
And this big splash of mud came right in my face, all over me, and the water's spewing out like this, and instantly I had to step back and laugh because I saw it as a direct consequence of this anger that I had put out coming right back to me, hitting me in the face. And I saw how directly the choice that I made to be angry, I was now receiving the consequence of it. And in the moment of laughter and realization, I took steps to heal over the argument, and, you know, we kissed and made up, and it was just sort of like a cosmic joke, in a sense, because our lessons, when we are able to understand them, the effects of what we do, when we're able to understand them, there's a release, there's a kind of freeing, there's a deeper appreciation for almost like the joke of life, although it's not always a joke, but it helps us grow in character to a greater understanding that we're beyond our emotions, that we can be a greater person.
So we're talking here about, as I said when we started, that some of these are very, very subtle. Some of this cause and effect business is very, very subtle. Some of it not so subtle. Mud in the face is not so subtle. But what's important in that, I think, Carol, is the connection of that there is an effect to every cause and every action and so forth. And as we examine things on life as a spiritual occasion, if we begin to look at every moment of our lives in a spiritual capacity, in the whole that we are, that those lessons are so rich for us, that we can then begin to recognize. And just, I'm going to back you. First of all, I'm going to do some housekeeping. I'm going to ask you to put that bar down because it's keeping us from seeing your face now, but you have to put the mic back up real close. Thank you.
Better.
That's much better to see you with, my dear. I'm going to ask you to back in from that and say, so you had the effect, you hooked it to the cause. Is that not necessarily a one-off, right? Don't we have multiple lessons in our lives that, you know, how did you make that match that day? I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Oh, absolutely. Well, sometimes we don't always make the match, you know, and in that moment, the sense that I had created this mud in the face experience by my own actions.
Yes.
It was very graphic. It was in my face, so yes, I couldn't miss it.
As they say.
But many times we don't connect what we have said or done with the effects as they come into our lives. And sometimes it's, like Mike had mentioned a little earlier, sometimes it carries over from lifetime to lifetime because we are an eternal being. We're a spark of God or soul, as you, Suzanne, had mentioned in the beginning. So
I'm gonna keep that deep dive just a little bit further away. Okay. And I think that if we explore a little bit more this notion of knowing that this moment by moment, that these exercises that we have through our daily life, and that could be everything from going to the water cooler to having a spat at home or whatever that is. But the messages are there, and then if we look at the effect and get back to the cause, let's hope that by understanding that this is something that actually happens, that can improve our lives. How do you think we can go about drawing that connection so that we can achieve that balance that I talked about when we first started?
Well, I think the important thing is to first of all know about karma and that concept exists. When I was younger, I'd never heard of karma, and I didn't understand why certain things happened in my lifetime. But once you understand that there is the law of karma, life becomes easier because you understand why certain things happen. For example, you may have incurred some type of a debt to a person in a previous life, and in this lifetime, you end up being married to that person. And you work out your differences, and you have your life together, and at some point, it may be over. Your marriage might end in divorce. But it could simply be that the karma is finished. And if you understand karma, and if you study spirituality and you know the reasons for it, then instead of feeling guilty and bad about the whole situation, you may have a complete understanding of why you were married to this person, why it needed to end at a certain point. So it can make life a lot easier by having an understanding.
I think understanding is really important here. I think, Carol, we were talking a little bit earlier, and you said, like a child learns when they put their hand on a hot stove, right? Mm-hmm. They take it off. They've had that experience. That's a one-off experience, usually very quickly learned. Some of these more subtle lessons are not. And if we understand that this has a much broader effect than just, an incident after an incident. You talked about something about a motorcycle that sort of helped you to learn this lesson of cause and effect and understanding karma in a more, shall we say, lasting way.
Yeah, that was a situation that happened a few years ago where, I was invited to the home of the mayor of our city, and I was feeling very proud of myself, and, the ego was starting to get the best of me, and I had this private meeting with the mayor, and I was all proud and happy, and when the meeting was over, I just, all I could think about was, you know, how lucky I was, and my ego was getting the better of me. And on the way home, I thought, you know, I was on my motorcycle, and I thought, well, I'll just go really fast, you know, because I'm so happy. And I hit a curve, a 90-degree curve, and there was water on the road, it was a slick spot, and the bike went out from under me, and I hit a fire hydrant at 50 miles an hour. And fortunately, I was wearing my helmet, but I got hurt a little bit, and the bike really hurt. But the funny thing is as soon as this accident happened, I realized I had created it. You know, this was a lesson for me not to let the ego get the best of me. And as I was limping away from my damaged bike, I was actually laughing because I understood why this had happened, and I had created the situation. And sometimes it takes like a baseball bat to the back of our head to learn a lesson, especially for me. Sometimes I don't learn it the first time. It's going to happen once or twice. But I go real slow around that corner now.
Yeah, I, you know, again, it's a lesson learned. I think people talk about, you could have said, why me? Look at my bike. That's going to cost me. I mean, those are normal channels for the emotions to go on, right? But if we think that we're bigger than our emotions, right, if we understand that we have responsibility, really, for much of all of, I'm going to stretch it, all of our lives, really. So what happened? You said you made a connection for your life. And I'll tell you, it could be each of us sort of has those own specific lessons, don't we? We have a lesson that is specifically for you related to ego. That was your lesson. You learned it. You made the connection. You move on, hopefully, with a greater understanding. And each of our lessons are specifically different because we're living our own lives. But the connection there, I think, is a very strong one. This notion of drawing the connection between karma moment by moment, lifetime by lifetime, and now I'm going to pull back that stuff I put in deep freeze before about reincarnation. If, for those of the listeners that have questions about reincarnation, anywhere from "no kidding, I believe that" to "that's preposterous," so we've got a whole bunch of folks out there listening. But I'm interested in drawing that connection that you introduced a little bit earlier about understanding why it's better. Now I'm going to ask you to say, why is it better to look at your bike, say, I was stuck in my ego, I wasn't cautious as I should, kind of laugh at the fact that you were doing okay in the matter, right, not badly hurt, and move on, as opposed to someone who's still looking at the wrecked bike and saying, why me, and so forth. So you're saying to make those choices, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but tell me, if we make those choices to react in a way that understands a bigger piece of life than our emotions at the time, and yes, it's upsetting and so forth, but there's a bigger message to understand. So if we make those connections, what's the point? Why do we always have to be so good, Mike?
Well,
or either one of you.
You know, your listeners might be asking themselves, well, why should I care?
Yes.
About karma?
Yes.
And the reason is because each one of us is an eternal soul that lives forever. It's not like I have a soul, but I am soul. I'm just inhabiting this physical body temporarily, but I'm going to live forever.
So that's not just you, Mike Stein. That's we.
All of
we
us.
Are soul.
We each are soul, an eternal being, and that's why we would care about what happens in the next life or previous life. And the goal, of course, is to have awareness of this and to be able to unfold spiritually.
So to make this very graphic, that if you understand the connection in that particular case between ego, karma, cause, you put it together. Otherwise, if you're saying this notion of eternal beings coming back, and again, I'm making this very simplistic, that you could again get caught by your ego while riding a bike and create the same kind of effect, right? That causes effect. So as I understand what you're saying is that we want to learn about this notion of cause and effect and how we balance our lives, because lifetime after lifetime that shows up in our understanding.
And there are certain experiences, major experiences in our lives, that will have an impact on soul. And subconsciously we will remember those in our future life. Okay. And hopefully not make the same mistakes again.
And you had a story, didn't you, about a personal story about someone related to you about this notion of reincarnation and how karma affects that.
Yes. Someone close to me had a recall of her past life, one of her past lives, a recent one, where she was involved as a drug dealer, very tough man in that particular lifetime, because we experience both male and female bodies. But in this particular lifetime, she was like the leader of a gang involved in a lot of drug dealing and responsible for having certain people become addicted to drugs because of what she was involved in, the activities. And she related that she met these people in this life who she had been responsible for becoming addicted in this past life. And her job in this life, as she understood it, was to put in balance that those relationships. So she found herself involved with being more supportive in a positive way of this particular individual who had become addicted in that past life. And in this life, she found herself pursuing a pharmacy as a means to balance out this past life where her involvement with drugs was led to negative effects. In this life, her involvement with drugs is for a higher good. So there's a balance that was created to balance.
I think balance is the word there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Where you move ahead spiritually because you're able to learn from, you know, I did this thing that was not helpful previously. I'm going to do something different and make it good. And there's a deeper happiness that we're able to achieve when things feel in balance, when we're at peace, when we know we did the right thing. Right, not in the sense of morally I'm better and all of this. But it just is this sense of contentment and knowing that we're acting out of love, which is really the goal of karma. Karma teaches us how to love in a better way.
I think people talk about, that's some bad karma, man, or, wow, you must have good karma. And it really isn't, right? In its real sense, it's a neutral gift, if you will, that lets us balance our lives. How the heck, though? I mean, this sounds like someone who's spent a bunch of time sort of understanding karma and perhaps aware of reincarnation. How does the average person, how does our average listener that might not have spent as much time as perhaps you two studying, you know, their spiritual essence, if you will, how do they come about these lessons? How can one, how did this person know she had a past life and that she then followed and believed it and so forth? What is that path?
Well, for some people, they might get a glimpse of a past life in a dream. Or if you've gone in a particular city, if you travel somewhere and everything looks familiar in that city, you feel like you've been there before. Or you eat a certain food and it awakens a whole, you know, sense of, you know, this tastes like something I know about, but you've never tasted it before. there are certain cultures that we're drawn to that sort of give us clues to maybe what we were before we came into this lifetime.
So dreams. So we had a whole show once several months back on dreams and indicated there that they're really paying attention to your dreams really is a huge educational effort to this business of balancing life and learning from experiences and the untapped information that we all have that we're not, we haven't exercised that dream muscle, right? In terms of understanding them.
Yeah.
So that's...
And many times young children will have a awareness of who they were when they...
One of my grandchildren was probably about three who did say to me one time in his presence, well, when I was big and you were little, and I thought, what in the world? And he was telling me a story about when he was big and I was little. So, through my understanding, I then paid attention instead of, you know, just... blowing that off and became very interested actually in the story he was telling me about when he was big and I was little.
Wow.
So, A, you have to, I guess one might start with just belief or choice to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Then one gathers experiences that validate that, right? That you meet people in this life that you might have wronged in a previous life, if we're going with your story. So one of the ways that you're telling us is that, again, if we follow our dreams, I don't mean that in terms of aspiration. I mean, if we actually pay attention to the dreams we have, that might be, well, how else, what else, if someone's listening that doesn't have this notion yet of reincarnation, how, are there other ways to validate that or to access that?
Well, you can look at patterns in your life. Bad thing keeps happening to you, you might want to look carefully, and maybe you don't realize it, but you might be criticizing somebody or engaging in gossip or, you know, having negative thoughts about someone, and then all of a sudden, you have a bad day in the stock market or something like that, and just, negative things keep happening to you, and it could be that you're just creating these situations, because you can incur karma simply by having a negative thought about someone or engaging in gossip. I like to think that there's a saying, never criticize, never find fault either to a person's face or behind their back. And that's a good way of preventing yourself from making karma.
So if we look at karma as our individual feedback system, in a way.
That's a great way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it listening to what what y'all are saying here, it's that it gives us feedback to the degree we're tuned to listening or watching it, the greater degree we learn, and then the promise to oneself. A, because you believe in reincarnation, or B, just because of the feeling that you talked about, Carol, that just it's a peaceful place to be. It just makes you feel good, right? Mm-hmm. So we get that feedback, either mud in your face or a sense of peace, or chances are much of this on a daily basis. Our lives are busy. I told you before I got here today, I started at 8:15 and I haven't had breakfast or lunch. So we know, and I'm not unique in that, I know, right? So that there's a drive in our daily lives. People have young children, jobs, and distances to travel and put up with all that. So can we every moment be aware of that? Maybe that's asking a lot in today's life, but not when the lessons show up for us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or perhaps not if you're traveling on a bus or a train, when you sit quietly after your day, or when you're putting your kids down and they have those angel-like faces and they look up at you and you have a chance to actually say, no matter what, I love you dearly. So, it's moments like that, I think, mm-hmm. that if we train ourselves to look for, we get more adept, perhaps, I'm wagering here, to these lessons that come and go, rather instantly. I when I know that a long time ago, I say a long time, it might have been 5 or 6 months ago that we talked about dreams, but since they're so valuable and you're talking about that again today, we talked about sort of setting up a dream. You know, if you say, geez, I want to learn more about my karma. I want to learn more about what I do that's loving and positive as opposed to what I do when I flare up at somebody thinking whatever goes on in my head. Mm-hmm. If you invite that upon going to sleep, right? If you invite those good messages, do you guys have experience about that we could talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, you don't even have to do it before you go to sleep. You can take a quiet moment and just sort of open your heart to life, to spirit. You can think about a beautiful scene or something that you love in your life, and then just gently put out the thought to God or to whatever spiritual higher power that you follow. Please show me how I can learn from the opportunities in my life, or show me what I'm creating that might be a stumbling block for me and how I can balance that. If there's a challenging situation, it could be as simple as the words we use when we speak to each other. Like if we use words such as, you know, you should do this. Well, that gives a sense of that to the other person that we're speaking to, that we might be trying to control or tell them what to do. And then they're going to react.
I just left a meeting sort of like that.
Yeah. And then they're going to react back to you. And then you're going to wonder, well, why don't they like me so much? Well, none of us like to be controlled by another person. And then it might be as simple as learning not to use a certain word in your life because the reaction that you get from those around you.
I'm almost going to put myself way out there and say, I'm getting the sense that one doesn't have to believe this. One has to jump in and get keen to looking, get keen and be alert to lessons. If something happens that's either very exciting or something happens that's far less than exciting, is to take a look at that and say, what's in this for me? And I would go so far as to say, and who am I in the matter? Mm-hmm. And if that's, you know, I'm suspecting that you don't have to believe anything, but pretty soon you're going to get some evidence that matters.
Right.
I mean, just from the examples that we're going over here today. So, yeah. I tell you what, I want to take a break for just a moment here and give credit to some of the sponsors that bring 100 and Chamber Radio to our listeners and our viewers. So we're going to take a break, and we'll come right back and continue talking on 100 and Chamber Radio, Life is a Spiritual Experience, looking at understanding karma.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100andchamberradio.com, brought to you by the 100 and County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. One more
opens. So, welcome back to 100 in Chamber Radio. Here at HCR.com. If you be, to sit it out or HundredInChamberRadio.com. We're today talking about understanding karma, and we've talked a bit about what actually is karma. I mean, it's sort of cause and effect, and sort of how we learn to understand that balance of what we think, say, and do, and how that interacts with our life. We went on to say that Mike did about the reason that that's important in our lives is that we have more than one, that we indeed are eternal as soul, and that the more we learn about life and love and living and the effect that our what we give out comes back, that there's a direct cause and effect, that karma gets you in the end, right? It's whether it's wherever it is on that spectrum, that's what we come into the next life prepared to learn more of and deal with. And so then we were talking about this, the one thing, oh, Carol had something too, when we were talking about reincarnation that you said you wanted to mention. Did you have a little book here?
With a particular health issue, and a child may be born with a deformity or with a very life-threatening illness, and we wonder, well, it seems so unfair. Why is this happening? You know, what did that child do to deserve this? And when you can see that child's life from the viewpoint of soul, that this is another chapter in its experience, and also the experience of the family dealing with this particular situation, that perhaps this illness is a result of something that this child created in a previous life where it was maybe very mean to its own child, so now it has to come back and experience the result of that in this lifetime. You begin to see it from a sort of a higher perspective where life is about learning, and that's all it's about. It's about learning who we are and how we can be better people. And many times it's through the pain we experience that we get a much, much deeper appreciation of, you know, who we are. Pain, yeah. Pain is a wonderful teacher.
So, the reason for life is learning.
Yes.
And it's learning to understand these invisible laws or these invisible things that work with all living things, but certainly in our life. I have a friend who has multiple health issues. Now, this individual's 70 years old, so he's been around a while. What I've noticed is this unbelievable urge to keep on going, right? Mm-hmm. To have life be positive, to keep active with all these medications and treatments and this and that and the other. So in that person's life, you know, you could sit around and say, you know, it's this doctor or that doctor, this is wrong or that's wrong. And yet this person is learning, what are the limits? How far can I go? How can I live a full life? And what a beautiful lesson that is.
Right.
In and of itself. So, but I want to hear a little bit more about this. You know, what is soul, and what is, if we're talking about reincarnation, how do those lifetimes, you know, go together? And I realize it's deep, right? but it seems to bear, it, you know, begs the next question. What is that?
Well, you mentioned in the introduction that I was a volunteer firefighter.
Yes.
And I started as a firefighter when I was 16 years old. And
speak
at
loud.
That time,
loud.
I had no concept of religion or myself as soul or life after death. I had no knowledge of that at all. And, you know, you've probably heard that when people find out about heaven and life after death, they lose the fear of death. Well, it was just the opposite for me, because when I was 16, I took a lot of risks. You know, I would run into burning buildings. I would get too close to car fires when we were on the turnpike putting out fires. And, you know, I just had no fear of death. I had no understanding of life, really. And then when I was 17 years old, I started researching and finding out about spirituality and soul. And I actually developed a healthy fear of death, because now I had a reason to live. I understood that I was more than just the physical self. I am soul. I live eternally, and I'm on a spiritual path, and I had a reason to live. So that was a major change in my life. And as a firefighter, I started being a lot more careful, and just had a much more fulfilling life, knowing that there was something beyond just the physical, of what you could see with your eyes and ears.
So soul has total awareness. We wear these bodies like apparel, like clothes, right? And we do have, like I said, we have the challenges of our getting to and from work and what's going on at a meeting that you're in or whatever those things are. And that takes a lot of our attention, as it should. There's lessons there, but we have to make a living and we have to feed ourselves and all these other things. So we have purpose, as you said. It's to learn. It's to increase our, I think I heard you say something about increase our capacity to love. But soul, that part that you're talking about, this time has this body on, a little too fat for my liking, and I have this personality called Suzanne. But next time I might have a different body and a different personality. But as I understand what you're saying, Mike, is I'm going to carry my lessons that I'm learning this time into whatever next life I have. Is that accurate, or am I being too simplistic? Or?
John Lennon wrote a famous song called Instant Karma, but a lot of people don't know what that means. But Carol's example of having anger and then a few minutes later getting it back in her face, that's instant karma.
Oh, yeah.
She learned her lesson very quickly. Now, she could have just held on to that anger for days, weeks, months, and let it consume her, and it just gets worse and worse. But instant karma is actually what you want. You know, that is, you know,
direct feedback.
Sure. You know, when you put your feet on the path of wanting to know more and spiritual unfoldment and wanting to know more about life and universe and who we are, why we're here, then instant karma is what you want to have. You want that mud in your face right away so you can learn your lesson and be finished with it and move on.
Yeah. Were you going to add?
I wanted to encourage people, if they are interested in learning some techniques to open yourself to more understanding, there's a wonderful little pamphlet. It's by Harold Klimp, and I'm going to hand it to you, Suzanne.
So I'm going to put it here so that people can see it.
It's called Spiritual Wisdom on Karma and Reincarnation. And in this little booklet, he gives a wealth of ideas, techniques that you can use to, research your own past lives, find out for yourself, you know, what have I lived what have I been before that might be creating a pattern in my present life that is a challenge? You can learn ways to dissolve your karma, so to speak. And one of those ways, and if you'd like, I can share one of the techniques that Harold Klemp mentions in this booklet.
If it will be useful to our audience listeners, that's what I was trying to get out, then sure.
Well, there's quite a few that he does give in the book, but one very simple one is to quietly find a place where you have a few moments of silence where you can just close your eyes and relax. And you can very gently and with kind of like a childlike openness and love sing the word hue, and it's sung like hue. Just slowing yourself down within and tuning into this sound current. Hue is actually a name for God. It's been used throughout many, many centuries by many different religions in different forms. And you gently sing that for a few moments, kind of quiet yourself down, and whatever challenge you might be facing, you sort of let it go to spirit and listen inside for what spirit has to give you, what the lesson might be in whatever you're going through. What is it teaching you about yourself? What is life trying to tell you? And sometimes you get an answer. Sometimes you have to work at it. Ask for clues. You can you might get a nudge, or some people say they get inner guidance about certain things. Well, singing hue is one way that you can increase your inner direction or your inner knowingness and tune into your higher self, which has a lot of the answers that we don't often see in our everyday life.
I think this notion of listening is an important one, huh? And it's that quiet inner listening. First of all, it's good to just listen to folks, because you get to know what's really at the heart of what they're saying and so forth in our daily discourse. But in terms of this business about listening, sitting quietly, and if you have as broad a question as what is life trying to teach me, which is what you just said, or how come every time I walk, I meet this individual, there's a conflict? How come? And then let your mind calm and see if you can get insight into
exactly,
that.
Yes.
So this listening, I think, is a bigger part of our well-being than a lot of people consider, perhaps. So maybe that's something that we can put out there as a practice, as an exercise, mm-hmm. is this notion of really listening outwardly and inwardly. You said some people have inner guides, or some people have this inner sense that they're familiar with, right? It doesn't matter a religion or no religion or where, but they're familiar somehow with this capacity to learn from this quietness that they have within.
Absolutely, yeah. It might be something, a health issue that you have and you're struggling with, and you want some light shined on, what's the next step? Should I have this operation? Should I not? Why am I even going through this? Take a moment. Ask for guidance. Ask for the reason. It might just be a food you've been eating that you're allergic to that's causing a reaction in your body that cause and effect, something that you can handle very simply. You won't know unless you ask, and that's why karma is such a good teacher, because it helps us get beyond who we think we are. It makes us wonder about life in a deeper way.
I just saw this image when you were talking about cause and effect. In that space is the most important thing, and that's us. Mm. right? It's where we are in that equation. You know, if we say cause and effect, it's our responsibility. It is our responsibility, as you said, to listen, or it's our responsibility to say, what is this that's affecting me? Or what is the lesson? How come every time, and then fill in the blank, how come every time I blah, 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 it doesn't matter what the blah, 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 blah is. It matters that we stop. And that's where we come into play. That's where we create the learning. I'm supposing here that helps us to understand this business of cause and effect in our own lives, because I don't know that someone else can tell us that. And I'm not talking about someone who's troubled and has issues that might need professional help or medication or something like that. But I'm talking about our day-to-day problems or even our day-to-day joys. I mean, to just say, far out, thank you. That was cool, right? So this notion of where we live in that space between cause and effect is critical to this business of moving on, or at least, listen, if we don't go that far, we're doing good now. Yeah. But this notion, Mike, that you put forth before about how that builds on what we've learned, and as you say, soul is eternal, then that lesson is imbued within that eternal awareness. Does that make sense?
I have a story to share about my mother. She's gone now, but she was a doctor. And most of her life, she was in the position of telling people, you know, advising on their health. And, you know, you have to eat this food or do this or lose weight or whatever and stop smoking, whatever. And she became very used to that position. It was a powerful place to be, where you know something and you can help others with it. When she was 83, she suddenly had a stroke and found herself unable to do anything. She couldn't speak. She couldn't, was paralyzed on the one side. And the realization came to me that all of her life she was, you know, not, she wasn't easily able to accept advice from other people. She was usually giving the advice. Well, here she was now in a position where she had to be dependent on other people. She had to listen, you know, take it from doctors.
Yes.
And I was in the position of having to take care of her. So for her, that was a balancing, you know. She had to receive care from others, which she was not used to. And for me, I was in the position of having to take care of her, or I chose to.
Yes.
First out of love. I could go on more about the story. I don't know whether we have time or...
Well, we're closing in, but you've got us all on our tiptoes
now,
so I want to hear more.
Well, we ended up taking care of her over a period of quite a few years, and towards the end, I began to get, you know, angry. It was too much. And I developed the severe trigger thumb because I was lifting her and pulling up her, you know, Depends and everything. And it was so severe that I was barely able to help her. So for me, I began to wonder, like we were saying, you know, why is this happening? And as I looked at it and listened more closely, I realized that the pain that I was experiencing was this anger, again, my pattern in this life. This impatience with her coming back to me. Once I saw that and was able to become more patient with, you know, taking care of her and just letting her be and not taking it on so much myself, the issue with my trigger thumb, this painful situation, gradually went away.
Wow.
So it was you know, for me, a direct lesson of cause and effect, you know.
So our lessons, you know, there's probably, if we had the composure and time, everything we do has a lesson in it for us. But it's in those times where, as you said, Carol, pain, but it doesn't have to be. It can be moments of joy, or it can be whatever, that we have the time to look and say, what is this? So big topic here today. We started out by understanding karma, but what you brought to the conversation is that it doesn't live isolated. Yes, there's cause and effect, and yes, we're in the middle of that. But the reasons, some of the reasons that it's important for us to learn these lessons or to understand about karma and cause and effect is that it's a gift and not a negativity, perhaps, depending on if we learn to look at it in that way. But it is purely a lesson. We found out that has to do with being an eternal being, right? That comes from one life to the next, in what you've shared with us in terms of reincarnation. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that we are this entity, this soul that lives and learns. So a lot of information here today. I want to know how people that are interested. First of all, I want to let people know that I'm finally getting a email site together, so that if folks have questions to follow up on our conversation today, or they have comments that they'd like to make, the email address is lifeisaspiritualoccasion@gmail.com. So the name of the show, lifeisaspiritualoccasion@gmail.com. And we're very interested in your feedback or your questions for that. What else? How can people follow further in this? You showed us that little book earlier about what, read it again for us.
It's Spiritual Wisdom on Karma and Reincarnation.
Pretty much what we've been talking about today, right, in that package. How? What else can somebody do if they're interested in more of this? They're going to get to me and I can get to you, I guess. But what else? Is there anything on the books here that we should let folks know about?
You mentioned in the introduction that Carol and I are members of Ekinkar. And the Ekinkar website has a lot of information on karma, reincarnation, and soul. And the best thing to do is go to ekinkar.org, which is ekinkar.org.
There's also coming up in the next couple weeks, on March the 3rd, at the Metuchen Library, which is not quite in Hunterton, but for folks that are in Hunterton that are interested in the subject, there's going to be a wonderful workshop, Spiritual Wisdom on Life After Death. That's March 3rd. It's a Sunday at 1 p.m. at the Metuchen Library.
Oh, thank you.
And you can explore how we are eternal as soul, and what happens in life after death and life between lives.
Wow. Now there's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, really.
So I do want to thank you so much for, I think you've traveled a distance to be here from being that you're on the Burlington County Firefighters. So thank you for being our guest and sharing a conversation that doesn't have little brackets around it, right? I mean, it leads on and on. But I think if I would say what you put out here today is a challenge for people to observe more about their lives, observe when they think, if there's particularly patterns, patterns that we repeat and repeat, and we go, wow, that's pretty useless. What am I doing this for, right? That you begin to look at this feedback mechanism, and in there lies the lessons for cause and effect. So I thank you so much for being here. Listeners can join us again on the third Thursday of every month here at Hunterton Chamber Radio from 4 to 5. And I don't have the topic next time for our next meeting together, but I will get it up on the web, on the Facebook and website and email and all that other stuff. So thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us. It's been a really interesting conversation, Suzanne.
It has for me, and I'm sure for our listeners. So thank you so much. And from the bridge, this is Suzanne Legay saying goodbye for another month.